1 Corinthians 13. God's going to do something as we read this. You're going to begin to see where you really are at in God. You're going to see how real your walk with God is. We're going to look at this as love without conditions, because God tells you what love is. Ugh, we're all going to probably not have an A on this, but God's going to keep us getting there. 1 Corinthians 12 just really talks about the entire body of the Lord and discerning his body and really understanding that and getting rid of all of these kinds of things and not comparing ourselves and not saying we don't need this part of the body or that part's better, even to the part where God says, and look at verse 23. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 23. And those of the body we think to be less honorable, to these we should put more abundant honor around them. And our unpresentable members should have more abundant priority. You know what the Lord is really saying there? People that the world do not give any time to, people that the world reject and don't love, people that maybe can't give as much money to ministry, or maybe they're just not that educated or not that smart, or maybe sometimes they seem like, you know, they're more of a constant having to deal with than that they can give anything back. You know what God says? Here's what he says. This is what love says. Honor them. Honor them above everybody else. Honor the people that the whole world despises. When they come into the body, as believers, when they come into the body of Christ, honor them. Surround them with honor. You know, I believe when you surround people with that kind of honor, some of you need to surround your children with that kind of honor. The Bible says for the wives to honor their husbands. Do you know, if we begin to honor, to esteem, to lift up, I believe what happens, especially when we're doing it not in manipulation or control or wanting anything in return, but when we do it as unto the Lord, when we do it as unto the Lord, I believe that God's unconditional love and who God says they are will begin to break through and begin to cancel out what the world says they are. I go to 1 Corinthians 13. We'll just go to 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, which means you can speak in tongues. You can actually go up in church and receive the gift of tongues or receive the prayer language and not have love. But I do not have love. I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, that's a lot of the Pentecostal church and the charismatic church. We're so yay hurrah that we speak in tongues. That we want to put that in everybody's face. We want to shake people and try to make them say it too. We want to make ourselves feel better than the rest of the people in the body. And you know what we really are? And this is what we've been. We've been loud, obnoxious, clanging cymbals because we haven't had love. If I have prophecies, which means you can, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, I can even move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. You can have faith. You can trust God. You can believe in God. You can move in the gift of prophecy. You can move in discerning. You can move in the gifts of the Spirit. Isn't this amazing? But not have love. I know I've been there. Maybe what's missing in the church, is the revelation of the power of unconditional love. God's love. Perfect love that casts out fear. Perfect love that doesn't compare itself to anybody else. If I give out all my goods, and if I deliver my body that I be burned, but I do not have love, I have profited nothing. Which means you can actually think you're dying for the gospel, give away everything you own, and it still not be a motivation of love. It could be about being spiritual. It could be about trying to do what you heard that another person did. Now let's see what love is. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13. Now think perfect love. His perfect love has patience. I will tell you this. Doing this ministry, I have learned that God is really patient. How many can honestly say, when you look at your life, that God has been so, he has been so patient with me, I am amazed. He has put up with so much crazy stuff and wrong thinking about myself and high-mindedness, and he's still so patient. Wow, we need to have his kind of love to be patient with our children, to be patient with our spouses, to be patient with people at the, grocery store, wherever, at work, people who work for us and people who we work for. We need to know love is patience. If you don't have patience, just the grace, just the supernatural grace to keep calm, the supernatural grace not to be judgmental, the supernatural grace not to attack or not to, you need to pray for God's love. It's kind. I used to not be kind because mean is the opposite of kind. And I had a really mean spirit. And if you listen to some of the older tapes, you'll hear mean on it. Some of you laughed a lot because you had mean in you too, and you thought that was great at the time. Now we'll all listen to it going, oh. And if any of you hear any of that, especially the newer people, and it really bothers you, please bring it to me because we're trying to edit them and get some of the mean stuff out. But you know, you can hear where Paul was at, and God leaves all that stuff in there. And if I re-preach it, when I have time to re-preach it, then I'll get rid of the whole thing. Right now, I've just got to humble myself and still keep them out there because the teaching got me to this place of getting freer, and that's what it's going to do for others. But kind is one of the last things that I got. Isn't that sad? But isn't he faithful? Isn't he awesome? He'll still let you be an overseer of people's lives and help them and get them through things, even when you're not kind. He's amazing. Now, nice is a counterfeit of kind. Nice is under your self-creation, and you're going to be nice to everybody, but inside, you're thinking horrible thoughts. Inside, you're making fun of them. Inside, you're mocking them. Behind their backs, that's not what you're thinking. Kindness is a fruit of love. Kindness is really seeing past all the hurt, seeing the way God sees them. Kindness is seeing the way God sees and speaking about people the way God speaks about people. And God does not sit up there and make fun of us. I remember we used to do that a little bit, and God zapped us. We were in the office one time, three or four of us, and something happened. I don't remember what it was, and we were kind of making fun of something. And the Holy Spirit came in that place with the fear of the Lord that scared us to bits. And he straight out said, "Don't talk about my children like that. And who do you think you are?" And we just repented and we cried, and it kind of hit all of us at the same time. And God just took that mean thing out of our hearts. I want you to remember this. The Bible says every single idle word that you speak, every one of them, you'll give an account of in heaven. Thank God for the blood that can cover the sins now. Or I'd be up there so long, it would take half of eternity just to get through my judgment. See, the awesome thing about repentance is we really, really, really can get it taken care of. See, my prayer is that when I stand before the Lord on that day, can't come up with anything that hasn't already gone under the blood, that hasn't been paid for and changed in my heart. And then he just hugs me and says, "Enter into the joy of the Lord." And everybody's going to be, "Wait a minute, didn't she do this and didn't she do that?" And it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone because it's already been repented of. Or you can stand up there on that day and begin to see every single thing the way it really was, and get it right then. I believe that if you're saved. How much better to enjoy your life free here and living in his kind of love. It's kind. Love is not envious. Love is not envious. Love does not cause you to compare yourself to somebody else and want to have what they have. Love does not make you think, "Oh, I should have that, not them. Why isn't that me and not them?" I'm going to tell you what, I have really been on a journey to get free from my high mind itself and enter into his kind of love. And it's so freeing. Yay, thank you, Jesus. Love is not vain. We talked about vanity before. Vain is about stuff that doesn't matter. Love doesn't waste a lot of time on stuff that doesn't matter. Doesn't sit there and worry about what somebody looks like, what this is, what's this going to be. It's not vain. I'm just, Lord, help me get freer and freer from vanity. It's not puffed up. Love is not puffed up. Love is not lifting up self. You are so complete in Christ when you walk in his kind of unconditional love that there's nothing in you any longer that you need to be puffed up about. It's just such a freedom. And then are you, what's left except to enjoy God and enjoy people? Love does not behave indecently. Love does not, it's not going to be rude. It's not going to be gross. It's not going to be obnoxious. It's not going to do perverted things or filthy things or unclean things. Now look at this one. Oh. Love does not pursue its own things. I just really want to thank the people who came out this week and were empowered by the love of God to put these seats together for us, because they knew they weren't going to get a whole lot, probably if anything. Arby's roast beef for $1. I believe you. I'm sure they would rather have had a peanut butter sandwich at home. But see, that love, that's why I don't have to reward people. But many times God will have me do something kind because people did something kind that benefited all of us. But it's based on love. It's not based on conditions. It's not based on someone trying to get its own thing. It was not anybody's own thing to spend that much time. But see, when it's motivated by love, it's also not motivated by, ooh, well, the pastor, everybody knows right here, nobody cares if I notice anything. Okay, this ministry is just not like that. You know, I mean, they're not going to say, oh, did Pastor Cindy come in and see me? Nobody even thinks like that. If you even call me pastor, I'll probably say, who are you talking about? I wasn't even here last night when so many people showed up to help, because it's not about impressing people. It's about love, the God's love inside of you. You know, the cool thing about God's love, where you don't pursue your own thing, it doesn't mean that the stuff he has you doing, you don't love, because it's not your thing. It's when your thing and his thing is the same thing that you enjoy what you do. And just, let's get this real straight. Not pursuing your own thing doesn't mean you're going to be in full-time ministry. Give up what you wanted to do for the sake of the ministry. Not pursuing your own thing means not pursuing your own thing. It means pursuing God and watching him order your steps and give you his thing to do. And the cool thing about love, it's where you want to be. It's the freedom to enjoy, you know, to enjoy yourself, to enjoy God, to enjoy yourself, to enjoy other people, to enjoy what you do. You can really find out if somebody's really not pursuing their own thing because they're going to love what they're doing.